I'm speaking this morning with Dr. Howard Belkin. He is a psychiatrist with Beaumont Hospital. Good morning to you, Dr. Belkin.
Hi, Diane.
Part of what I wanted to talk to you this morning is anyone who watches cable television, which I'm a big fan of, and I'm sure a lot of people are, have seen a show called Hoarding. And I admit, once you start hearing about stuff like that, then you start noticing that kind of thing. And I think I know people that have that, and I just kind of wanted to talk about it because I'm sure it's something a lot of people wonder about.
Oh, sure. Hoarding is a real significant problem with some people. And especially over the last few weeks, there was the story of the couple in Chicago that hoarded so many items that they were literally blocked into their own house, and the police had to come and basically dig them out. Yeah, hoarding is a real significant problem with certain people.
Now, I have to admit, I know in my particular family tree, we would say, oh, that's because they were a child of the Depression, or that's because they did without, and so now they hang on to things thinking every single thing can be reused. Would you say that's true?
That's part of it. The thing that's interesting about hoarding is it's not a specific psychiatric diagnosis. True hoarding isn't.
That surprises me.
Oh, yeah. What it is, it's a type of anxiety disorder. It may be a variation of a compulsive disorder. It may be a variation of a obsessive disorder. There's no real true definition, but there's certain guidelines that people will use. You know, there's one thing, like a collector, if your parents or grandparents lived during the Depression, you know, they'll save everything. But a lot of times what they'll be saving or what collectors save have true actual value to it. With the true hoarder, they'll acquire an enormous number of possessions with very, very limited value that'll clutter up the area in which they live. And that's opposed to someone who has, let's say, a little part of his or her basement or a storage unit that's filled with true collectibles, things that really do have a value and can be used in the future. One of the significant things in true hoarding that's pathologic is it causes them distress or it impairs their functioning. Like the best example is that couple in Chicago, that there were rats, there were fleas, and they literally couldn't eat. The house is going to be condemned. That's true hoarding versus the collecting that many people have.
That seems like a wide range, though, to go from that kind of thing where the house truly is falling in on them versus somebody that just has a lot of what seems like junk to some, but they think it's worth value. I mean, that seems like a big range.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty incredible. And that's also the difference in most psychiatric diagnoses. It's, you know, one can be a little sad or one can be suicidally depressed. It's a question of degree, and then it comes down to the question, does this impair them in their social, home, or work level of functioning? If someone is such a hoarder that, for instance, in the case of one of my patients, they could not make it from the front door into their kitchen in the small apartment without climbing over items, then it becomes a pathological psychiatric diagnosis. If there are just a lot of things and they're, you know, placed here and there neatly, there may be a little bit of obsessive problem, but it's not going to be a psychiatric diagnosis. It's the difference between saving and collecting and pathologically hoarding things. Some people think that just saving and collecting items that have either a present or future value is good, and it may be, because these may be things that they're just saving or they're collecting for themselves or for their children, versus the accumulation of large amounts of items that really have no value. As I wanted to tell you, it reminds me of a patient that I had whose apartment was so disheveled with the amount of items that she was hoarding that she could not make it from the front door into the kitchen without climbing over objects. The family members actually had to go in there and carve out pathways for her to use.
And then what do you do to treat someone that has something like that?
Well, treating of hoarding is extremely difficult. The first difficulty is the fact that the hoarder generally does not think that he or she has a problem. Frequently what happens, the hoarder is confronted by a family member who insists that the hoarder seek treatment. sometimes, as is in the case with another patient of mine, the city inspectors, or in that case an apartment manager, discovered severe hoarding during an investigation of some complaints by the neighbors. When it's that bad, generally the person is brought to a local psychiatric hospital for intervention and for treatment. The treatment for hoarding is like that of many other psychiatric disorders. Primarily, the treatment is talk therapy, psychotherapy, but frequently, especially with the very severe hoarding, there's ancillary medication treatment. Long-term psychotherapy, especially behavioral psychotherapy, is generally required, and oftentimes family therapy, group therapy can be utilized. When it comes to the medication, there's multiple types of medication that can be used. Mm-hmm. What they call SSRIs, or selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, such as Prozac and Paxil, are used very commonly. But in very severe cases, what they call the neuroleptics that are used for schizophrenia and other diseases such as Seroquel or Risperdal or Zyprexa can be used. Oftentimes, to control the anxiety, the patients have to be placed on Xanax or Klonopin or Valium. In general, it's a very, very difficult disorder to treat.
So they might be on something like a Valium in addition to some other kind of psychiatric, like you said, an SSRI?
Sure. I could see a patient with severe hoarding being on an SSRI, such as Prozac or Paxil, being on a neuroleptic like Seroquel, and being on Valium or Xanax, and in weekly psychotherapy and family therapy. That would be for the severe holder.
They'd be collecting as many drugs as they are collecting things that, I say that lightheartedly, but I'm just thinking that's a lot of things to do, but obviously you're dealing with a lot of different areas. And I also imagine that this is something that could be hereditary. Children that are raised in this, either could go extremes, either not a single thing out of whack, out of place, which could then make them a little obsessive compulsive about order, or repeating that same behavior.
But the exact cause of hoarding is not known, but from what I've seen, it tends to run in families. The question is this a genetic component, mm-hmm. through the genes, through the chromosomes, or is it because the children were raised with parents who have this type of behavior, and they've reacted in this way? And I also agree with what you said. Parents who react in the who are of the other variety, of the minimalistic type of person who collects virtually nothing, or who takes a child's toys and throws them away, possessions and throws them away, possibly could cause the hoarding or the obsessive compulsive behavior in the child. Hoarding and obsessive compulsive disorders are probably not just one disorder. There's probably a variation and a variety of causes of these.
Okay, so we talked about the extreme, and that they had to be almost faced by family members or by authorities, that they had to then seek help, mm-hmm. through psychiatric, and you say group therapy. What about somebody who just notices it in themselves? What is there something they can do?
Yeah, it's great. If someone notices it in themselves, the chances are that it's more mild than the real severe holder, kind of by definition. It also says that they do have some insight into the disorder, and that is really the key. Many hoarders will have no insight. If one does, then treatment is extremely important. If one has the insight and decides and discovers that one is either a hoarder or is quite compulsive, quite obsessive, then it's the time to seek treatment from the psychiatrist. The best referral to the psychiatrist is to ask family members or friends, and if you're embarrassed, you don't want to ask them, ask your family physician, ask your internist, or they can always call William Beaumont Hospital referral service for a referral to a psychiatrist who could treat the hoarding or the compulsive types of behavior.
Now, you mentioned embarrassment. I would imagine that there is tremendous shame about this, that that's actually something that is probably a big secret that people, they don't let them in their house.
Right, right. Even family members will have little access to the house of the hoarders. Hoarders, it's interesting. They, in general, they have certain personality characteristics. They're usually kind of loners. They oftentimes they're unmarried, they may be unemployed, they may be on disability. They're the kind of people that you don't get to know them very well on a personal basis. You may know them superficially, but even the neighbors is the instance in the in the Chicago case, even the neighbors didn't really know the hoarders. These are people, they're secretive, they're perfectionistic, poor insight, indecisiveness, but in general, do not let people into their lives, and especially don't let people into their homes.
Just, again, a way that a lot of people wouldn't know that they needed help.
Right.
And so would some of the antisocial feed the compulsion, and the compulsion feeds the antisocial?
Sure, it comes kind of hand in hand. If they are non-social people, you know, they're not going to invite others into the homes. They're not going to let people see the way they live, and vice versa. If you don't let people into your home, and you haven't had a visitor in 5 years or 6 years, for certain types of people, there's less of a motivation to clean up the house, get rid of what you and I would call junk, what may be treasures for them. So the two kind of feed together in a vicious cycle. That's why when there's finally an intervention, especially a family member intervention or a social work intervention, that the hoarding behavior can stop.
And obviously this isn't something that's an overnight thing. This is something that accumulates literally over time.
Oh, sure. It could take years and years to accumulate. And, for the listeners to understand, it can take years and years to treat also. It's not something that starts overnight. And most importantly, it's not something that goes away overnight. The key is, number one, recognition. If family members recognize what's happening, if the impaired person himself or herself recognizes what is happening, they can seek treatment. Once they seek treatment and begin and accept treatment, then the condition can be stopped.
Well, I think people think that, oh, they just need to get their house cleaned up and in order, but going in and doing something to somebody's house, that's a one-time thing, but that doesn't fix them and actually sets them off into more of a panic, doesn't it?
Yeah, they could actually have a pretty severe panic attack. If for instance, the person is on vacation for a week and the neighbors or the relatives came into the home and cleaned up the house, threw away all the things that the person was collecting, and the person came back, they could have a nervous breakdown, a panic attack. It could be a really bad situation, because they're expecting to come back to that same level of what we call chaos, but what they consider to be control.
And their stuff, all of their things that they think has value.
Right. And these are their collectibles. They have an actual type of object relationship with the items that they collect. They may collect old Coca-Cola bottles and have 6,000 old Coca-Cola bottles, but they're all assorted in one part of the room, or they all go in a certain order with the labels turned a certain way, and they have a distorted type of comfort with that. If you go in there and twist the labels, for instance, or take them out, the panic is going to ensue in the person.
Wow. This really, it's interesting and so sad at the same time.
Oh, it's a real serious disorder. It's great that it's getting more publicity through the television show and through these radio talk shows and through the newspapers. I hope helping people look for help, look for guidance in the people who have the problem.
Well, Dr. Howard Belkin, it really is quite interesting to learn about this, but then the whole world of the mind, the brain, psychiatric, is so much that we don't know about it. I thank you for the chance to talk a little bit about some of it. You're a psychiatrist with Beaumont Hospital, and if somebody wanted to get a hold of you...
Well, the easiest way, I have a website that they can look at. It's BirminghamCounselingCenter.com. If they need a referral to a psychiatrist to treat... hoarding, there are a lot of great psychiatrists on staff at Beaumont. If they call the main number, 248-551-5000, and tell the operator what they're looking for, they can get a list of really fine psychiatrists that can help them.
All right, Dr. Howard Belkin, thank you so much for talking with us this morning.
Great, Diane. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.